I can't think of anything that rhymes with elephants.
Smelly pants, elephants.
That's our
rhyme. Encyclopod.
Okay, right. Now I don't have to sing it. Hooray. I fooled Gavin into singing it again. This is Encyclopod. Week 3.
Number of 3. Many.
When are we going to have an actual theme tune?
Soon, hopefully.
Yeah,
are you actually working on one?
I've been working on lots of different ones, but I keep changing my mind about what I want it to sound like. So.
How are you?
Yeah, kind of. Okay, who are you people? I'm Alex, by the way.
Really? Nice to meet you. I'm Heather.
Hello.
I'm Gavin.
Yay!
Hello.
That's people that I know. The same people as last week. We don't have a Stuart again, because he's in Aberdeen, apparently.
Yes.
I think. And he hasn't replied to my text.
Ooh.
That's not very nice. And he stole your DS.
He did, yeah.
It's now gone past the point of
borrow. And he still owes me £30. Anyway, what have we been up to this week? Apart from learning about our subject, which we'll get onto soon.
We went to Glasgow, us three.
Yes, we did.
Oh, yes, we went to investigate the RSAMD, which is where you're going, isn't it, Gavin?
Yeah.
Even though you don't like saying that.
No.
Which is the Royal Scottish Academy of Music and Drama. Very, very well-respected institution, that.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You somehow got in.
Yes.
He bribed them.
Yes. And, I just found out that I'm going to university to study English.
Yay!
Which is a bit of a shocker, really. But
congratulations, well done.
Thanks. Yay! I appreciate it. And Heather? You're still studying zoology?
I am, yeah, but I'm going into fourth year, which is a bit scary because it means I'm actually meant to know things.
And does that mean you have to write like a big
thing? Yes, I have to do a research paper.
Ooh.
I don't know when or what on, but I will at some point have to do one.
Oh dear.
Mm.
I have a feeling you may disappear off of this show for a while then.
Probably, yes. Mm. Sorry.
Oh, well. Anyway, yes. I'm trying to think of stuff to do with the show that I should say. I'm planning to submit this show to lots of podcast directories, including iTunes and stuff, after I edit this show together. So hopefully by the time you hear this, it will be done and everyone in the world will know the name Encyclopod.
In fact, most people will probably hear this having found it on one of these directories.
Well,
so hello, new listeners.
Hello, new listeners.
Hello.
We're quite all right. We're all right at this now. We weren't that.
That sounded so convincing, Alex. So convincing.
Yeah, you might not want to listen to the clouds one, but you might just to hear how amateurish.
I like the clouds one.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
I mean, like a Stuart giggled every time we said Uranus, but.
Oh dear. Why did we have to mention that? Okay.
Just so the new listeners know the kind of level of maturity to expect.
Yeah, well, when I discover a podcast, I usually go back and listen to all the old ones. Anyway, we're rambling on about podcasting rather than elephants, which is what we're supposed to be talking about.
Yes, today's topic is elephants.
Elephants.
I think that's the first time we've said that.
Yeah, well, no, there was that song about elephants at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
That might be a giveaway.
I had a little bit of a clue.
Yeah, if you're very sharp, then you might have caught that, as well as the episode being called Elephants.
Yeah.
And other clues such as that. Anyway, elephants. What did we already know? That's the segment that we start the show off with, apparently.
See, I'm scared of saying things that Gavin's going to say from his book, so I'm just going to be quiet.
No, things you already knew. Yeah. Did you already know? Oh, you're a zoologist, so you probably knew everything we were going to say already.
Well, not everything, but that they're big and grey, and I don't really know a huge amount about elephants, actually, to be fair.
But they're big and grey.
Yeah, and there's two different kinds you can get. But I think one of them is divided into two species, subspecies.
There is some debate about whether they're actually different species, but we'll get into that later.
Yes. You know, they're quite cute, really.
Yeah, I think so too.
There you go, that's my input for the start.
Okay, Gavin?
I did a project in primary 6 on elephants.
Aww.
And it was very detailed and I was very proud of it. And I tried to hunt it down for this encyclopod, but I couldn't find it. I imagine it's been transferred from PC to PC and eventually it would have been deleted.
That's a sad story.
I took out a book from the library, a kid's book as I'm traditionally going to do. But they're actually quite advanced kid's books. But and the date inside of it seems to make me think that this might have been a book I took out when I did my project.
Wow.
So I might have had this book back in primary six.
It's a small world, yeah, or at least a small library.
But, see, I wish I had that project, because it was actually really quite good, because I had random cool facts, like how many burgers an elephant weighs. That was when you're a kid, wow, that sort of thing is interesting. Yeah. Obviously, the people who wrote the book.
What do you mean when you're a kid? When you're any age, that thing's interesting.
Yeah, that would have been a good gimmick to have your old school project on here.
I know.
Oh, well.
If you do one on rainforests, I know where that project is.
Yay, I did one on rainforests. That's another eyewitness guide, I noticed.
Yeah.
You seem to like them.
Good old
they only had this
Kindersley.
One in. I did have... There were three books in 2001, so I don't know what's happened there.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I used to know that they were big and grey, as Heather said, rightly. They have trunks, which are long and flexible, and they are kind of endangered. Didn't know a great deal more than that, to be honest. Maybe we should just move on to the basics of elephants then. Do you think?
Go on.
Okay, so the most obvious thing about elephants, I think, is that they're big. How big are they generally, would you say?
Big. I'd say 4 units of big.
4 units of big. If by units of big you mean meters, then they can grow that tall.
Yeah, I meant meters. Yep.
Yeah. they can grow to up to 4 meters tall, although that's quite big even for an elephant. And they can weigh nearly 10 tons, which is quite heavy for anything, really. And apparently they keep growing all throughout their life. They don't stop at any point, really. So old elephants are bigger than sort of just matured elephants.
I don't think I knew that.
Oh, good. Well, we're teaching you stuff.
There's a picture of an elephant here compared to the size of a Diplodocus. Is that how you pronounce it?
Diplodocus.
A Diplodocus, yes. Yeah. And it's actually quite big. You know, well, I mean, you'd think that'd be smaller than though I'm just going from Jurassic Park
personally,
here.
It's just made me realize how big a Diplodocus is.
Well, yeah, the elephant is smaller, I should mention.
Yes,
it's about the same height as its leg.
Yes.
Yeah, but still.
But, I mean, elephants are the biggest land animals currently on Earth. So, yeah.
But
they're
why
still
are
they
so
pretty
big?
What?
Why are they so big?
That might be in the evolution section, Heather, will it?
If I can remember all of the points, then yes, I'll try and remember why they're so big.
Oh, okay.
It's the same reason why dinosaurs were so big. Well, some of them, apparently.
And how long do they live? About 60 to 70 years, I have written here, but if anyone cares to dispute that, then...
No idea.
No.
Okay. Should we talk about the individual parts of their anatomy?
Go on.
For example, their trunks, which are fairly noticeable. You wouldn't forget about them when talking about an elephant,
well,
I would
see,
hope.
One thing I think we should say before we start going into that is if you just clarify that there are two main types of elephant, the Asian elephant.
Oh, yeah, we might as well do that now, because I don't actually have that many notes on them. Do you two know the differences?
I know some of the differences.
I know some of them.
Hold on. African elephants have bigger ears.
Yes.
And they're bigger in general.
They have concave back. Whilst an Asian elephant will have a hump back, if that makes sense.
Yep, yep.
Like that, like that. Their trunks, this is talking about trunks now, they have two triangular fingers for African elephants, but only one for Asian elephants.
Yeah, African ones have them on the top, at the top and bottom of the tip of their trunk.
Yeah.
And Asian ones have only one at the top.
Yeah.
And they can use those to grip things, but we'll get onto trunks later. Also, there's two different types of African elephant. The African bush elephant, or savanna elephant, as it's sometimes known, and the African forest elephant. And some people seem to think they're different, distinct species, whereas other people think they're subspecies.
Mm. There's always arguments like that about any animal, I think.
But the main differences seem to be that African forest elephants are slightly smaller than African bush elephants, and they have darker skin, and their tusks are a different shape. They kind of point downwards, whereas bush elephants' tusks kind of curve round to point forwards.
Can I just say something about savanna elephants?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Their Latin name is Loxodonta africana africana, which I really like.
Wow, that's a good...
I think it's brilliant.
It sounds like a musical number from The Lion King or something.
Loxodonta africana africana.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, Yeah, okay.
Are they actually genetically different from each other, or is it just kind of
I have no idea. Sorry.
Because I didn't find that out. Sorry.
Well, the other one... What was the other one called, Alex? The forest elephant.
I'm a zoologist, you are.
Loxodonta africana cyclolotus.
Wow.
Meaning round ear.
Oh, okay.
It's smaller than the bush variety, has downward pointing brownish tusks and smaller rounded ears.
Also, African elephants live in many varied habitats in Africa, generally. Not so much in the north part of Africa, but pretty scattered across, really. In deserts, rainforests, blah, blah, blah. All those different places. Asian elephants live in... Asia? Yes. And they're sometimes called Indian elephants, although that is just a subspecies of them, really. But it's sometimes used as a broader term to refer to all Asian elephants. As we said, they're smaller and have arched backs and smaller ears. And they're more often domesticated than African ones. I think the females of them sometimes don't have tusks.
Yes, true. Yes.
Or at least you can't see their tusks.
There are a lot of... I think there's quite a few elephants that have tusks that you can't see.
Yeah.
But it does seem to... Yeah.
The weird thing about tusks... Well, we just move on to tusks, and then we can talk about trunks that. Because tusks are just teeth. I didn't actually know this. That stick out.
Yeah.
They don't seem to be a different thing at all.
It's strange, though, because they're actually not very close to their teeth. Which I find kind of strange, because if you look, there's a picture of a skeleton. You can't see it, faithful listener, but but their teeth, it's quite a bit in front of the skeleton in both sorts of elephants.
Mm.
Or all the sorts.
And they use them for many things, like battling in...
Bashing each other.
Yeah. And digging they use them for sometimes.
And some elephants, if they can't be bothered holding up their trunk, they sometimes drape it over their tusks.
Wow.
I saw photos of that.
If I were an elephant, I'd do that.
I'm sure you would. I don't know what that means.
Oh, there's one.
Oh, they can also be left or right tusked.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know that.
They can, yes. Like, people are left or right-handed.
Okay.
They have one dominant tusk that's slightly bigger, and they use it for more.
Yeah, I've noticed that the tusks are never actually, like, in cartoons, perfect. They're always one that's sort of, you know, they're all quite different.
Cartoons are accurate for change on that front. I don't know a great deal more about tusks, because I ran out of time when I was researching them. But, trunks? Anyone want to talk about trunks?
Okay. Well, can I just say about the tusks? They keep growing.
Oh, right.
Continually.
Throughout life.
But it depends on the minerals in the diet, apparently. So, like, that's why they can vary so much from elephant to elephant, even if they're in the same species. Because, obviously, if they travel in different groups, which they do, then they'll get different food and stuff.
Hmm. Nice.
Yeah. The hand nose. Let's talk about the hand nose.
The hand nose? Is that another name you've made up, like ground cloud?
No, it's not. This book has a page on the hand nose, which is actually about the trunk.
Why did they call it a hand nose? Couldn't they just call it a trunk?
No, but they're trying to, you know, make kids understand what it's for.
I would have called it a trunk, personally.
Yeah, but I know, but they're explaining... It does say it's a trunk. It's just...
Okay.
Oh, I have an experiment.
It doesn't just say hand nose all the way through.
No.
Good.
I have an experiment for you two, considering you made me do the chocolate one last week.
What?
Right. Okay, both close your eyes.
Oh, no.
And reach out whatever hand isn't holding your microphone.
Okay.
Right. I want you to imagine that you have two nostrils between your middle finger. Like on either side of it.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Right? Now just imagine that you can smell where you put your hand. You can move your hand to smell places, like the elephant can.
Oh, yeah.
Just imagine that you can, like, turn around a corner and smell what's around the corner. Or you can put your hand in the fridge and smell what's in the fridge. Just now take a deep breath and start pretending to smell. Just imagine it that the air is running through your hand.
Okay.
You're an elephant. There you go. That was my experiment.
Wow.
I really do feel like an elephant.
In fact,
now,
I should have involved the listeners at home. Have a shot of it. Just reach out your hand and imagine you can smell wherever your hand is.
Yeah, I heard about this. It's like a smell periscope they can use their trunk as. So they can find food around other animals with it, which is useful for them. Yeah, they have many, many uses for their trunks, actually. It's like a fifth limb. I guess that's why they call it a... What do they call it?
Hand nose.
They can pluck individual blades of grass, tear down branches, lift logs. Lots of different stuff. And I can't find how many muscles they have exactly, because no one seems to know. But estimates range from about 40,000 to about 100,000.
Yeah, this one says more than 100,000 muscle units.
More than 100,000.
Some of which from the skull and interlace with shorter radiating muscles.
Hmm.
But I mean, it's thing is, it has absolutely no bones in the trunk.
Yeah, that's also weird. But yeah, that makes them really strong, but also really precise. So they can just pluck an individual blade of grass.
Or a grain of rice, according to my book.
Can they? Wow. Mm.
An individual grain of rice.
Apparently it's also powerful enough to kill a lion with a single blow. It's a bit scary. Wow.
I mean, imagine hit, not an actual, like, blowing up the nose.
Yeah.
An elephant sneezes on a lion.
Uh-oh.
They can suck up water and stuff and then blow it out. 8 pints.
But, well, actually, that's a lie. You're wrong, Alex. They can't blow it out because it's impossible for them to blow out their nose and into their mouth. What they do is they lift their trunk up high enough so that gravity will let it pour into their mouth.
I didn't say they blow it out of their mouth.
Didn't you?
No.
That's what I heard you say.
Oh, well, listen back to it and see.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'll edit it out. I find it weird that they actually have nostrils on the end of their trunks. I didn't know that until this week. I thought they just had like a hole that they could...
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
they have two nostrils.
Apparently their trunk weighs 28 stone. That's big.
That's quite heavy, yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of uses for the trunk. Anyone got any more uses for the trunk?
They can wrestle with their trunks as well as their tusks.
Yeah, they use it. They can
apparently bite. They use it if they want to swim about underwater. They use it as a kind of snorkel.
Yes, yeah, they do.
That's really cute.
It is, isn't it?
If they curl it up into what looks like an S shape, so like they lift it up and then the top bit curls back over, that's a sign of like, if another elephant's around, that's sort of saying you're the leader, you're the one who's got the
submission kind of.
That's
yeah, well, it's a higher social position, higher social status, so recognizing that. And also, they can stretch them. It can be telescopic. It can actually stretch out further than you'd think because of the muscles in it. So that's a bit strange.
They can pull food off trees. They can if they can't reach the food, they can shake it down from trees or even pull a tree down. And they like to spray water and dirt and dust and stuff on themselves, and it makes a kind of sunscreen.
Yeah.
Apparently, they have dust baths where they spray dust on each other and themselves, and it keeps insects and the sun off.
They can have fun doing that, actually.
Yeah, apparently. They do seem to be quite fun-loving creatures in general.
Yeah.
They do lots of silly stuff.
Or it seems like they are, because there's not really any way of telling if they're having fun or if they're just doing it for the fun of it.
I suppose not, but we'll get to their like intelligence later, because that's very interesting, actually. And they use the trunk a lot in social interaction. They actually shake trunks, like... intertwine their trunks when they meet sometimes. And they also use it in courtship and mother-child interactions. And a raised trunk can mean a warning or a threat. And we've talked about trunks for about 5 minutes, I think, so. But, I mean, that is quite a big part of an elephant.
Imagine a trunkless elephant just with, like, a nose, like a pig's nose. Yeah.
Wow. Isn't
that right?
That's weird.
Okay. Did we actually talk about ears on here, or was that before we started? I think it was before we started.
No, that was before we started, actually.
Okay, yeah, someone talk about ears, because I don't know about them.
Well, African elephants generally have larger ears. They're sort of the big, huge, round ones. And I think Asian elephants have, like, sort of triangular or squarish, but they're not... It's hard to describe. They're not quite round. But I know on the back of the ears, the reason they're so big isn't for hearing, but it's so that they can cool down, because on the back they have loads of blood vessels, and if they open up their ears or if they fan themselves, then cold air will go over their body and cool down the blood vessels. Or if they want to, then they can face with their back to the breeze and then open up bring their ears forward so that the breeze hits the back of the ears and cools them down. Quite interesting.
And if they stand on a raft that's afloat, they can use their ears as sails.
I don't know if that's... Well, it's true, but I don't know if that's particularly science.
No, I just made that up, but it sounds true to me. A side benefit of the ears, though, is that they can hear pretty well. They can communicate infrasonically, which means it's below the range of human hearing, in fact. And the sound can travel miles.
Apparently.
And they can hear it still.
They can also hear low frequency sounds from 6 miles away through their feet.
Oh yes, I've heard that. And
which is strange.
Yeah, feet. Their feet are. Their feet do seem to be quite sensitive. Mm. I mean, they have massive feet. They're like their legs are like pillars. Like
yeah. Well, that's to allow them to like sleep standing up and stuff to hold up the body because they can't really.
They do lie down.
Yeah, but they don't. They often sleep standing up.
Oh, do they? I didn't know that. They can also sense seismic vibrations through their feet, and that can tell them that danger is coming or that rain is nearby. So if they need water, then they can head towards it.
Can we talk about their feet and tiptoes?
Tiptoes? Okay, yeah. I don't know what you're bringing up.
Well, Heather, you've mentioned it as well. You go. You explain.
Okay, I don't really know the biological term for it, but basically they walk on their tiptoes.
They tiptoe.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I don't think that's the scientific word for it.
The skeleton is on tiptoes.
Yes, it's not actually them walking about.
But on the outside, they have a layer of, I don't know what you'd call it, a heel cushion it's called here. So like a layer of skin or something, which then they soften down, which is why they can move so quietly.
Hmm. Apparently they can't run or jump either.
I don't know.
I've seen them.
To be able to run, all the feet must be off the ground at once at a certain point.
Well, they can walk. They can go fast.
They can get to 15 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Ooh, but they
only
can't
15.
Run as such. Like, if you were to define run, at some point all your feet would have to be off the ground.
What do they eat then?
People.
Yes,
they're not really.
Cannibals.
They don't actually
eat. That's cannibalism.
Like you.
Yes.
Elephants are
vegetarians.
They are vegetarians.
They can kill animals, but not for ETs.
Yeah, not for ETs.
Just for funsies.
Leaves. Leaves, shoots, bamboo, reeds, grasses, fruits, and where possible, crops. See, if you do a web search on what I just said, then you'll find that exact list on some website somewhere.
Okay, here's a page. They eat bananas.
They eat bananas?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they can, yeah.
If they grab something with their trunk, they can blow up of air to throw it into their mouth. But
wow.
They can't do that
that's
with water because
cool.
Their trunk is full of water. So that's quite cool. They like to chew on bark as well.
Mm. Is that just the show-offy elephants that do that?
No, it's not like they do it from a distance. It's like they bring it down right to their mouth and then just toss it.
It
falls into the right place.
I bet some of them just toss it way in the air and catch it, though.
Yeah, some elephants must be that cool.
Yeah. The social structures. Yeah, we should talk about their behaviour and social structure and stuff.
Okay.
I've read that they're usually in herds of about 20 to 40. I think that was the number. And they're all females. The females live in herds of 20 to 40. And they look after the young. But the males usually live alone or in small groups.
Well,
but I've heard contradicting things from different places.
Well, what I know is that Edinburgh Zoo used to have elephants. But because once male elephants reach puberty, they have to leave the herd. So they didn't have enough. You need a huge amount of space so that elephant can be kept separate. Because, you know, they need a massive area to live in anyway. And if you've got to keep one herd separate from another few elephants, then they need an even bigger area. So that's why it's really hard for a lot of places to keep elephants.
Yeah.
I don't think you could keep elephants in zoos anyway.
There is a lot of...
Unless you have, like, a massive, massive amount of room.
Well, yes, there is a lot of controversy about keeping elephants in zoos. Especially because they're such social creatures and they have strong family bonds.
Did you know? I don't know what zoo it was in. I'll look it up in a minute. There was a zoo. It was in England, which did something which shouldn't be possible. They had an African elephant and an Asian elephant in the same place.
Enclosure.
What do you call it? Enclosure.
Yeah.
And they ended up making a baby elephant.
Wow,
shouldn't
really?
Be possible.
That shouldn't be possible.
But it did die after 10 days.
Yeah, it could be possible, but it wouldn't be viable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I thought it was interesting.
Wow,
that's quite interesting.
But generally, zoos are moving towards conservation projects, like having reserves and stuff instead of keeping the elephants actually in zoos. But some zoos are still keeping elephants in horrible conditions. So don't do that, please.
Not zoos.
Circuses too. They've never been very good to elephant circuses.
Mm.
Okay.
That's somewhat unfair, actually. I'm sure there are some circuses which do take care of their elephants.
Well, I'm not sure. They're never really...
Hey, you said don't be biased on this.
Well, yeah, but
in
I'm just
fairness,
trying
we
to...
We haven't done our circus elephant research.
Okay, but circuses are not there for the welfare of the animal, though.
There might be some.
And usually they have an elephant, which can't be good for it.
Well, no. They
have such a complex social structure.
People think that they live quite emotional lives, like humans, that they have strong relationships. And anyway, what their lives are like. They migrate is a thing in big groups.
Yeah.
In search of food and water, usually. But I've heard they migrate seasonally. Does anyone know anything about that? Because I thought it was a bit weird.
I didn't know that.
They probably move to where there's more food or something of the sort.
Yeah, I suppose that would change with seasons as well.
They have... I know in their herds, they do have a leader.
Mm-hmm.
The matriarch, as she is known.
Oh, yes.
The old grandmother elephant.
Aww.
Who normally leads and is respected well by the other elephants. I don't know what... They're loyal to this one.
Yeah, there is really, quite a hierarchy in the elephant world. So, yeah, I'm just trying to go through their lives and think about... Oh, sex! Elephant sex.
Sorry,
I just saw the thing that says
that. Yeah, it is the biggest word on your page.
Elephant sex. As we saw recently in The Love Guru by Mike Myers.
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about that. That was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, Alex...
Not for the elephants.
But the interesting thing about
come from?
Apparently they come from elephants.
Oh,
having
hold
sex.
On.
Elephant
Sorry.
Sex, in fact.
What does sex mean?
I thought this book had nothing on elephant sex because it's a kid's book, but then I just noticed there's an elephant on top of another elephant.
They're cuddling together.
The act
together.
Of meeting.
Yeah, they're just
like,
cuddling.
It's like two sentences so that the kids don't know too much about it.
Yeah.
The act of mating does not take longer than about 1 minute. After the more lengthy courtship is over... In order to avoid crushing his partner, the African bull, who may weigh twice as much as the female, gently rests his foreleg and trunks along her back. That's all they tell kids.
Why are you laughing? You're supposed to be a zoologist. You should be
it's
used to this.
It's just kind of amusing to put it in a kiddie's book with a picture.
They had to put something. I mean, it's not that rude.
Yeah.
No.
And apparently the elephants don't think it's rude because they do it in front of the whole family.
Yes, there are other elephants watching.
I don't really understand, like, the cycles and stuff involved, but from what I've read, it would seem that elephant cows, which is the word for female elephants, can only be impregnated every 3 or 4 months. So if zoos are trying to breed elephants, then they have to let the elephant bull see the elephant cow every day, basically, so that he'll eventually have a chance. To impregnate her, and then the pregnancy lasts about 22 months, which is possibly the longest for any animal on Earth, I think.
I have no idea. I just know it's very long.
It is very long, anyway. But it gives the calf the chance to develop to 100 to 150 kilograms before it's born, which is
that's pretty big.
Heavier than me, I'm glad to say.
I don't know what I am in kilograms.
Anyway, sex. That's about all we can say about it.
Can we move on to baby elephants then? Because
the only thing I know about baby elephants is they occasionally tread on their own trunks and then scream. Yeah,
that's sweet. There's quite a few bits in this book, but one thing I saw when I was looking up stuff on YouTube, which I slightly regret watching, though it was nice to start with. I watched the birth of an elephant, which is quite nice. That because you know it was like it falls out. And then all the other elephants are dancing around and, like, they're all celebrating.
It's like something from a Disney film.
It is a bit.
Apart from the birth bit.
But there was another one which Link followed on from a video. Different elephant that was born. But it was born prematurely. And it was the mum trying to get out of the sun. And she was standing and trying to shade it, but she really had to move it. And she couldn't pick it up.
Aww.
And it was, like, lying on its side. And it did pass away eventually. But it's just this... Because obviously the people filming it couldn't intervene in any way anyway, because she'd probably attack them. So, and it was just her trying to pick up this elephant, and she kept dropping it. And eventually she got it, she lifted it up with her trunk and got it over her tusk. But, I mean, she couldn't put it down nicely, so she just had to drop it when she got it into the shade. And it was really, really... And then when it passed away, apparently she stayed with the body for like 5 or 6 days.
Yes.
They seem to have a thing
they
with mourning.
They do that.
But let's stay with babies before we...
Okay.
Because I know more.
I need to get onto that, though.
Apparently a lot of their behaviours learned rather than innate.
Yeah, well, I was about to say that they, like, baby elephants are just very curious with their trunk and do that. That's probably why they end
up
stepping
on. They have to be taught
on.
How to use their trunk, well, apparently.
Basically, they just sort of copy the adult elephants. Like, if the elephant's got its trunk in the water, they put it in the water. And eventually they realise, oh, I meant to suck the water up.
I want to work with elephants now.
Yes, they don't seem to rely on instinct nearly as much as other animals. They do learn an awful lot.
Sorry, this book has the word nipple in it.
Well, for goodness sake. What? Can I believe how immature we are on this
I'm
podcast.
Kidding, I wasn't actually laughing at nipple. I was I was laughing at the fact that it's in the kids' book, though. But, hold on. Newborn.
Nipple's not rude.
Hold on, this is it's quite interesting. Elephants have a pair of human-like breasts between their front legs. Newborn baby African elephants have to stretch upwards to reach the nipple, but the shorter front legs of an Asian elephant mother, such as this one, make it easier for the calf. Baby elephants do not know how to use their trunk to drink, and if they did, holding onto the nipple but might be rather difficult. So they flop it onto the forehead and suck with their mouth.
They flop it onto the forehead?
Like, they flop their trunk back so that they can
Onto their forehead?
Yeah.
Just thinking, they don't...
They lift up their trunk so that they can get their mouth up to the nipple.
Okay, I thought you meant their mothers produce milk from their foreheads.
No. and their milk looks rather thin and watery, but is very nourishing, and babies put on weight at a rate of 10 to 20 kilograms per month.
Ooh.
Wow.
Suckling tends to be on the basis of little and often.
True. Good for them.
Did you know they drink like only once a day? Like elephants in general.
No, I didn't.
They only drink about once a day.
I think I'd heard that.
But they have to eat constantly because they're so big, they need a lot of nourishment. And because they only eat plants, they don't get a lot of calories.
I don't know how they sustain themselves.
So they have to eat pretty much all the time.
It happens when there's not... Oh, that's what it was. If there's quite a lot of low-quality food, then they'll generally evolve to be bigger so that they can just pack loads of it in there and digest it all rather than, like... Yeah, they need to eat more food to get more nutrients or whatever.
If that makes sense.
Lower quality, which is apparently why they're so big.
Is the only drinking once a day the reason why their skin is so wrinkly?
I don't think so. I think it's just so that it's tough and strong against the environments that they're in.
I want to move on to the intelligence of them because there's got a lot of talk about how intelligent they are. Some people think they're on par with dolphins and primates.
Apparently.
Yes. I have a list of things that signal their intelligence.
Just to start off with the cliche in cartoons and stuff, elephants are often seen as the wise creature, the knowledgeable one.
Like in the Jungle Book.
And they never forget, famously. Yes. This may be because they have larger cerebrum temporal lobes than humans.
Fair
Is
enough.
That how you say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Well, cerebrum temporal lobes are the memory storage bits, right? Are they?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So that
they also have the largest brains of any mammals.
I mean, they have larger cerebral cortex than any other land animal. So they do have very, very big brains, as you would expect from creatures of their size. we were talking about death rituals earlier. They do have death rituals, which is quite unusual. I mean, they bury their relatives, and they occasionally stand over them for days on end, just kind of mourning.
But I mean, even... The thing is, if they come across like the skeleton of an elephant, it says here that they'll play with it.
Yeah,
they'll play with the skeleton
well.
Of it, and they'll like throw the bones and bury them or whatever.
Mm,
sniff
at
the remains, pick up and scatter.
Even
bones.
If it's not one of their family, they will do that.
And then if they might pause where a relative died and just recall it, even if the body's gone, they'll just sort of look there like they remember, which is quite strange.
There's many, many stories about elephants doing intelligent things like that. There's also stories of them helping either elephant... I mean, well, lots of different kinds of animals when they're in trouble, including humans. So people think they're altruistic, or can be. Like, you know, dragging someone who's stuck out in the wilderness, dragging them in under shade or something so they don't... die of the heat. There's lots of stories about them, but I can't really tell them all here. And I don't know how true any of them are anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, there are a lot of them have the ring of urban myth about them. Yeah, they can use tools like branches. They scratch their backs with branches and swat flies with branches. And there are lots of stories about
to do with their intelligence. They can also paint.
Oh, yes.
Apparently.
Well, some of them
can.
Well,
they can hold a brush and splatter it.
And splatter it. I remember it because I was obsessed.
They can do more than that.
When I was,
can they?
Yeah, they can do I mean, there's quite a lot of information on it, not in this book, but I've read some. But I remember there was one of the things that I was completely obsessed with. I had like at least a page on it in my project. Though as a kid, you know, projects weren't big, like a page on what, you know.
There's a very impressive YouTube video of a painting elephant called Hong. You should probably look that up. It'll be in our sources. It can actually paint pictures of elephants, is the thing.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah, you'll see if you watch the video. It they are very clearly elephants. I mean, it looks like something a human could have done. But the Urban Legend reference pages are Snopes.
Yeah, I know that.
Which is a very good resource for finding out if things are complete rubbish or not. Claims that it is true, but they're probably just mimicking what a human has done and not...
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Not actually painting, you know.
There's no way of proving whether they sort of saw an elephant and painted it or...
Yeah, I think all the paintings are very similar, so it's like they just learned the pattern and they're doing it over and over again. But still, it's impressive. They can hold the brush in their trunk and do that.
But, I mean, well, it says here that they've actually been known, though, without... they're probably mimicking, but they're not... It's not like somebody's trying to make the mimic. They're known to sometimes pick up a stone or a stick and just draw it, like draw on the bottom of their enclosure or something. Just doodle, essentially.
Oh, one last thing about their intelligence. It's thought that they're one of the few species that are self-aware, as in aware of themselves and their identity as a thing in the world. Because, you know, that mirror test. You were talking about the mirror test, Heather.
Yeah.
Do you know what it was?
I don't know how they set it up or whatever, but I just know that apparently they could recognise themselves in the mirror.
Yes, a lot of animals react to mirrors, but only a few actually recognise that it's themselves that they can see in it, and elephants are one of those species. If you paint an X on their head, well, in this experiment, they painted an X on their forehead or something, and the elephants looking in the mirror could reach up and touch it.
Yeah.
So that's fairly cool. I've also heard that they can develop a limited understanding of human language, but there isn't really much evidence for that.
You see trained elephants, but you're never sure how they've been conditioned. Nothing to do with.
They can like learn commands like just single words, but lots and lots of animals can do that. So, I think that's all we can really say about their intelligence and possibly their behaviour as well. Got anything else?
I think, Heather, do you want to talk about that experiment that you read about?
Oh yeah, I was going to look it up again. I can't remember the exact details. But it was in the New Scientist top 10 rubbish experiments that shouldn't have been published, basically.
Like that thing that you told us last week.
What thing was that?
You know, the really rubbish chocolate study.
Alright, yeah, I didn't find that in there, actually. I just found it when I was looking for...
Okay, what's the elephant one?
Apparently, we had to use this at uni as well. I actually found a New Scientist afterwards and went, I recognise that. Anyway, apparently they did an experiment in the 60s, I think it was, when there was about three guys who were up on their elephant knowledge in Britain. So it got peer-reviewed by basically a bunch of people who were friends and somehow found its way into scientific journals. There's apparently male elephants go through a kind of strange phase during puberty where they go a bit mad. I don't know exactly what happens. And they're trying to work out what was going on in their brains when this happened. Apparently that was their objective. And how they justified it was, in their introduction they said, the effects of this are similar to the effects of LSD on humans. So what we're going to do is pump this elephant full of LSD, see what happens, basically. And yeah, the elephant died, and that was the end of their experiment. And it was really horrible though, because they gave like really detailed description of what happened to this elephant just before it died, and it was horrid. But
gosh,
it was just the most flawed, horrible experiment ever. And it really shouldn't have been allowed or published.
I know another of these experiments that should never have happened. It's not really an experiment. It was more the purposeful killing of an elephant. And it's nothing to do with elephants. It's just you decide to do it to an elephant. It was someone, I don't remember the name, was doing an investigation into AC currents.
Oh, yes, I know this one.
So, like, I think he was pro-DC current, which is just direct current.
This was Thomas Edison, famous inventor.
Actually, hold on, I'm wrong. I shouldn't say AC current, because that would be A.
Yeah.
Alternating current. Anyway.
Yes, it's alternating current versus direct current.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so he was trying to prove that direct current was better, DC was better, because I think that's what he was supporting. It's a bit like it's strange. It was like it was Coke and Pepsi or something having a battle about which product's better, but both are useful in their own ways. I don't see why they would anyway. But basically, he hooked up an elephant to AC current, turned it on, and showed it getting electrocuted. He did it the same to dogs and cats as well, just to prove that AC current is dangerous. Yes. But direct current is also dangerous, just... I don't think if you hooked up like
I should mention just for balance. I don't really condone what Thomas Edison did, but
was it Thomas Edison?
Yes, it was Thomas Edison. But the elephant was going to be executed anyway because she'd killed three people.
Yeah, I'd heard that, but still,
it's still not the nicest way of
killing it. And he filmed it and made a film called Electrocuting an Elephant.
Wow, straight to the point.
Yeah, you know what you're getting with that. Yeah. You can watch it on YouTube if you really want to.
I think I'll give that a miss.
Yeah, I watched it just for the sake of research. Mm, it's not. You can't really see much in it.
Did it just sort of smoke?
Well, there's a lot of smoke. It's a very blurry film as well.
That's the thing though.
I think that gave me nightmares.
That was in 1903 as well. I should mention that. Yeah, that's an interesting story. I have a set. We might get onto famous elephants later. That one was called Topsy, and she was from Coney Island, New York. And apparently the people who she killed kind of deserved it because they were sort of treating her badly. There's a lot of examples in history of elephants being horribly mistreated by humans, as we'll see later. A lot of them are quite interesting stories as well as being horrible, though. Okay,
I have another elephant experiment if we're just on experiments.
Okay, we seem
it's
to
It's a
be...
much more modern one and it's much more fun.
Is it nicer?
Yes.
Okay.
It's, are elephants afraid of mice?
Oh, yeah, this one.
Right. Alex, you said, when I had this discussion with you that I wanted to speak about it, you said that you had evidence that said it wasn't true. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, I don't really have evidence, but I've read in several different places, including Snopes, which is my usual source for working out if things are true. I probably shouldn't just use it. But it is usually quite reliable and kind of level-headed, seeming. But I've heard that they're afraid of sudden movement and sound and loud noises and stuff. But not that they're afraid of mice. So you have conflicting evidence.
Yeah, I watched... There's a TV show called Mythbusters, which tries to bust myths, as you'd understand. With this one, what they did was they made fake dung, which was hollow, of an elephant. So they wouldn't suspect it of anything, so they just passed it. But actually, underneath it, they put a mouse. So it was hollow inside, so they could fit a mouse under it. And then they'd whisk off the top, like, whisk away the dung with a bit of string, and the mouse would come out. And what happened was you actually see the elephant move back and look down at it like it's scared. Not as scared, just obviously noticed it and doesn't want to do it any harm. So it moves back, like, whoa, I'm not going to harm it. And then they thought, okay, that couldn't be possible. So they did it again without the mouse under the dung, thinking that the movement of the dung is what scared the elephant. So they did it again, and... it didn't move, it didn't get afraid, it just carried on walking. So they did it again with the mouse, and once again it moves back. So they're not... They say that this one was plausible. They didn't say it was definitely true, but they say that it's plausible because it looks like the elephant moves back, but it's more for the protection of the mouse. They're not scared of it, they're just scared that they will hurt it.
Specific to mice either.
No, it's probably small, but it does prove that there's some truth in it, that they react quite...
Well, doesn't sound like a particularly well-controlled study, to be honest.
Sure.
Mythbusters are good.
Okay, but I mean, scientifically, that study wouldn't hold up if it was just what you said.
I have to agree with Alex, but still,
I don't know of any better studies into the subject, so, I mean, if that's...
To be honest, they are as scientific as they can be, because the people who follow are people like us who would do write in and complain that their experiment wasn't true or they didn't do things right. So they will, I mean, they might have done more and rerun it, but...
Okay,
they're generally quite reliable.
I have quite an interesting thing about bees, though, because apparently elephants are scared of bees.
Aww.
There were some problems in Kenya with elephants eating human crops. Not crops of human, but, you know, crops grown by humans. And then the humans would come out and be annoyed with them and start shooting them or whatever. And it wasn't good for anyone, really. So Lucy King came along, who was from Oxford University, and along with Save the Elephants, which is a Kenya-based elephant-saving operation, I assume... She decided, let's see if elephants are afraid of the sound of bees. So she recorded some bees by throwing a rocket a hive of them and then recording it for a while. And then she played it back at some elephants and they ran away. And apparently white noise doesn't have the same effect. So it's not just the noise that they're scared of. It's, they know it's bees, seemingly. And presumably they're scared of bees because they can sting them in the eyes and occasionally fly up their trunks, which wouldn't be nice for them.
I think they've done similar experiments with the noises of elephant herds, like from a different range, and it has a similar effect.
Do you know where else they'd be? They'd be scared that they could sting the back of the ear because that's full of nerves.
Oh, that'd be so. Yeah, I mean the skin of elephants is really thick all over, but I think there is. Thin, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be very thin on the ears.
So, Lucy King thinks, and I trust her on this, that strategically placed beehives could save farmers' crops and possibly ease the relations between humans and elephants, which are so tense at the moment.
It's quite a good way of doing it.
Yeah, it's very natural-seeming.
Yeah, it's not too risky either. It's not really manipulating environments hugely in a bad way. And we need more bees. They're disappearing.
Yes.
Are they?
Yeah, well, in Britain, anyway.
I thought that was just in Doctor Who.
No, it's actually true. My uncle told me. Oh, and then I went and explained the whole Doctor Who plot to him.
That's why Morris's mum was on the news.
Wow.
I quite like how it was in Doctor Who, though.
Yeah. Good old
Tandoka scale.
I'm Gavin.
Okay, now, we've talked for a while. I think we should probably take a break and drink some water or something and then come back in a minute. Okay, see you later. Elephants, 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 elephants. Elephants, 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 elephants. Elephants sometimes enter a state called must, which is a periodical change in the behaviour of elephant bulls caused by hormones. And I think that's what Heather was talking about in her study.
I saw eloquently put as going a bit mad.
Well, it is going a bit mad, basically. Testosterone production is increased by 40 to 60 times.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Imagine if that happened in humans. That would be frightening.
Imagine. they seem to be swollen with various fluids when this happens, and the fluids drip out of every orifice of them.
There's also a secretion point. Like, it's called the temporal gland, which is between the eye and the ear, where they secrete a sort of dark liquid which means you know that it's happening.
Yeah.
The stage of aggressiveness, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, they become really aggressive and they have outbursts at just about everyone and everything, which means it's very dangerous for zookeepers and stuff if they have a zoo, an elephant in a zoo, and it's in Must. I hope that's how you say that. It's spelled M-U-S-T-H.
It says like that sometimes they can go so mad that they'll like challenge bigger elephants which are higher in the social status and actually get away with it, and sometimes it'll improve their status. They can sometimes end up quite important in the group.
Yeah, and it's really hard to predict Must, when they're going to go into it. So they have to usually keep male elephants separate in zoos.
They'll have to have gone through puberty, elephant puberty. But it says here by about 25 years of age.
Yeah, it's not just a one-off thing, I don't think, Heather. No.
It's not?
No, I think they just enter it sometime. I don't know if it's once a year.
This is once a year.
Okay, well, it seems to be a bit hard to predict. So I don't really know. Anyway, that's enough about that. I just thought we'd better clarify it. Other things that we thought of during the break that we have to mention are Heather's socks.
Yes, Heather has elephant socks on today.
I do, I'm wearing my elephant socks, just for the occasion.
Yeah, they're grey socks with yellow elephants on. And
I'd say green.
Green? They're yellow.
Slightly green.
They're slightly yellow. Green. Okay. The yellow.
Mustard.
And also,
custard.
I meant to give a shout out to my mum, who has a huge collection of
elephants. Oh, she does. Yeah. I was thinking about that earlier.
Elephant
actually.
Ornaments, about 100 at least, I think.
Wow.
Which is a lot of elephants. So there.
Additionally, there's an elephant in the room.
There is an elephant.
Yeah. I was going to make that joke at the beginning, but I decided against it.
No, actually, it's Heather's model one. Because
for your mum's birthday,
for Sheila's birthday, she took us out to decorate elephants, but Heather couldn't make it, so
I had to work.
Yeah, Heather's brought her elephant. I don't quite know what you just, but basically,
it's like kind of papery.
Yeah, it's a model elephant, and then you sort of papier mâché it with nice colours.
Someday we'll do that.
Yes, we will do it someday.
Yes, that's about all we have to say about elephant-related stuff to do with us. So let's move on to evolution of elephants and related species.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, exciting.
No, I kind of asked Heather to do a bit on this because she knows about that kind of thing.
And when you said a bit, I did a bit.
okay, that's fine.
I found that apparently African and Asian elephants diverged from their common ancestor about 7.6 million years ago. That's what they're thinking at the moment. Oh yeah, apparently their common ancestor was the giant Hyrax.
Hyrax.
A massive rodent. It looks a bit like a big gerbil.
Wow, that's weird.
I've got a picture of one here. You would really never think. Cute, but you'd never think that it was one of the elephant's closest living relatives.
I've never even heard of a Hyrax. Strange. Are they still around?
Those are still living, yes.
Hmm.
Well, okay. Basically, their class is mammalia, obviously. And then the subclass, which is what kind of encompasses all the ones that Gavin's got in his book, is Eutheria. And that includes Hyraxes and things like manatees. And then you've got the order Proboscidea, I think. I can't pronounce it properly. Anyway, and that's elephants. And the kind of probos bit is hinting at their nose, because proboscis is the word for nose.
Yeah,
apparently.
That's what you also call their trunks sometimes.
Yes.
Hmm.
Good old Latin.
Yay.
That's pretty much all I found out.
In this book, there's a page on family tree, which is like photos of creatures which don't exist anymore, but were very similar to elephants, have slightly different tusks. And then there's another page about mammoths. But on this page, they've got elephants with like tusks coming out from underneath their chin, two little ones, which could be like used for digging. Like, I'm doing an impression of digging with my chin.
I wish you could see this.
And there's another one which has two tusks where an elephant has them and one on its chin, which is quite strange.
It's
and very long
is
mouth.
Kind of anteater-like,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, well, that's also one of their... The aardvark is quite similar to that,
okay.
And that's a living relative. And there's a few that don't quite look like elephants, but...
They look more like tapirs.
Yeah, that one
looks
a bit like a tapir.
A big
and
fat
then,
one.
Obviously, one of the ones everyone knows is the mammoth.
Yes.
Good old mammoths.
Okay, mammoths. That apparently disappeared about something like 4,000 years ago. The last remaining ones were on Wrangel Island. I don't know if you say that. it's in the Arctic Ocean. And it seems like they were the last bastion of mammoths surviving until they died in about 2000 BC.
The Imperial Mammoth.
We don't need to go through all the mammoths because we might do a encyclopedia.
They're related. I don't know if they are
prehistoric species, possibly.
They do have a few differences.
Mm.
Strange
hairiness being one of them.
The only other elephant-like creature I have written down is mastodons, which I don't know if they're actually related.
Oh yeah, well, mammoths and mastodons are classed as the same. Well, not classed as the same thing, but
they'll be closely related.
Thing.
I think.
Can I just say something about mammoths and cloning?
You can.
There was a scientist who discovered the skin of a mammoth, but without the fur, so it just looks like the skin of an elephant. But and they nicknamed it Dyma. And one scientist tried to use genes from it to clone an elephant, and then implant these cells into a female Asian elephant's womb in the hope that she'd give birth to a bouncing baby mammoth. Apparently,
they can't bounce.
It didn't work. But you had a strong opinion on cloning mammoths.
That
go on.
They are trying to clone mammoths again, or they think they can do it now. Well, I don't know. I don't know a huge amount about it, but I think it's a stupid, stupid idea, personally.
Go on.
Well, if you take an extinct species and reintroduce it to a modern ecosystem, it might completely mess it up. Because there's so many kind of little intricacies in ecosystems, like removing one thing or adding another thing could have a huge impact on like the trophic level below it or above it or whatever, and then that'll have an impact on the one below that, and it could all go mental.
But do you not want mammoths back?
Well, they're kind of cute and fluffy, but not if it's going to
wreck
things.
They haven't been gone that long in evolutionary terms, though, have
they? I know,
they?
But
100,000
it still
years?
Might make quite a big difference.
Not 100,000. No.
I don't know
no,
really 10, if 000, it would or not.
10,000 years, right.
I'd need to read more about it. I think sometimes it can work.
Like
about reintroducing
wolves into
to
Scotland.
But they
have they've hardly been gone any time, and they wouldn't have as big an effect as a mammoth, I wouldn't imagine.
Exactly.
Why not get an elephant and put fur on it? and then take it to the North Pole.
Kevin. Yeah.
We could, that way we can make it like purple fur or something. Purple furry elephants.
That would be good.
Mm. Never become a biologist.
No. Just do that. Another species relating to elephants. Well, I don't know if it's another species technically, but dwarf elephants. There don't seem to be any left, as far as I can tell, but there have been dwarf elephants which have developed on islands due to insular dwarfism, which you probably know about, Heather.
The only thing I can think of is that it might be due to inbreeding depression if they're on a small island.
Well, yeah, there's lots of different reasons for it. But, if they're trapped on in a small space with each other, then they eventually
tiny
become tiny little elephants.
Aww.
Yeah. It's cute. It's a cute thought.
The look on Gavin's face is making me think he's imagining, like, teeny, teeny elephants running around in circles in front of him.
Well, I don't think they're like, absolutely tiny. I don't think they're the size of pigs or anything, but they're smaller than normal elephants. Anyway, is that all about evolution and related species?
Just one thing that I found quite funny is there's an elephant shrew. It's like a little mouse. That it's tiny, and it's just the fact that it's related to the elephant, I think,
don't
is strange.
They look a bit funny.
Is it actually related, or is it just called that because it looks like an elephant?
It's actually related. I suppose if it's
called,
kind of
this page is called Living Relatives. It doesn't say it's related, or I mean, it could be named because it looks a bit, because it's got a bit
it's
of a long nose.
It's probably named because it looks like an elephant.
But it's just that's the fact that imagine. It's on the page Living Relatives. I mean, but if it's
descended
to the high rats,
from another rodent, then it's highly likely.
Mm. Dugongs, cow of the sea, even though it's more related to the elephant. True.
Yeah.
They're funny things.
Okay. It's the elephant cow of the sea, if it's
elephant
female.
Elephant cow of the sea. If it's female. Elephant
right.
Bull of the sea, if it's male.
Can we move on?
Yes.
To uses for elephants. Does anyone know of any uses for elephants apart from painting, which we've already talked about?
You can paint them, rather than them painting, you can paint them. In India, they paint them for, like, if they're trying to sell them for different uses, they try and make them look really pretty with colourful paints, and they can use them in a lot of ceremonies and things. They're sort of classed quite
highly. They're very good ceremonial creatures. Yeah. In fact, I have a bit on the method of execution, crushing by elephant.
What?
Which was used a fair bit in days gone by. Yes, in parts of Asia, like India, for example, it was used for thousands of years and was a symbol of, I guess it was a symbol of the power of the people who ordered it, because they could, you know, train elephants to kill people, and elephants are quite powerful seeming creatures. So they would, like, sometimes they would crush them with their foot, and sometimes they would impale them on sharp fittings attached to their horns.
Ew.
Their tusks, rather.
Similarly, elephants are used as tanks in some places.
War elephants, yes.
A bit
war
like
elephants.
Lord of the Rings.
I was about to say, it sounds like Lord of the Rings.
Apart from that, wasn't really an elephant, because it had some evolutionary differences.
No, it was a mummikill, or an oliphant.
It's a fantastic word.
Yes, but they used to execute people. Some people used to execute people, some empires and stuff. I think the Romans and Carthaginians did it a bit. And it carried on in some parts of the world until the 19th century. Which is quite recent, isn't it? And war elephants. Do you know anything about war elephants? Because I went to find out more about them, but it's quite difficult to...
Well, I mean, they were very valuable at that time, because they were such powerful creatures.
Yeah, although there's some historians who say now that they weren't really advisable, because they're so easily freaked out, and they can just easily just trample over your side as well as the enemy's.
Well, horses are kind of like that. They're quite jumpy, although they can't trample you as easily. But
yeah, I think elephants were mainly used to scare enemies rather than
scare you, wouldn't it?
It would, yes. I think I can safely say if you saw a line of elephants coming towards you in a battle,
I'd be running.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be in the battle in the first place, but you know.
Good for you.
Thank you.
I'm sure there are other uses for elephants.
During World War II, elephants played many important roles in the Allied war effort.
Did they really?
From hauling planes at a fleet from Air Arm Base near the Indian Ocean. Sorry, I'm reading that directly from the book, but it's a picture of an elephant hauling a plane.
Yeah, they are used for carrying stuff about, of course. I mean, they still are in a lot of parts of the world. Yeah, that's one of the probably their main job for the ones that work. And you can ride them. What?
I just had a really weird flashback there.
To your previous life where you rode an elephant.
From childhood. I remember being in my back garden when I was wee and thinking I could hear an elephant. And I went in and I was like, oh, listen, I heard an elephant in the garden. And my mum was like, okay, sure, right, go outside and play again. And I went over to my next door neighbours and was trying to tell them that I'd heard an elephant too. And no one would believe me. And then, later on that day, we went around to the garden centre, which has a big bit of field next to it. And there was an elephant there that they were letting you ride on.
Wow.
So I was right. I wasn't going mad. And it was very strange, though, because it was sort of like the middle of Edinburgh. Why is there an elephant?
This also means you lied earlier. Well, you didn't say it on this, but
you said you'd
never seen an elephant before this year, but actually you have.
Wow!
But not an elephant that was.
Why was there one at a garden centre letting you ride on it?
I don't know. I think it was because there was a circus in Edinburgh and they were sort of publicising it. I think.
Weird.
I really don't remember. I must have been about five.
Well, speaking of circuses, cool. I know we spoke about them a bit earlier, but elephants can be used as entertainers.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes.
I've seen like. What's his face? Make one disappear.
David Copperfield.
That's probably him.
That's the sort of thing he would do.
Many magicians make elephants disappear. Mm. Oh, elephant racing? Yeah.
Elephant racing. Oh, yeah.
Elephant polo.
Elephant polo, yes. There's elephant a World polo. Elephant Polo Association, which I will put in the links because it's quite interesting. And there's a good video of them, of people playing it. They actually move quite slowly, though, is the thing. So it's not as frantic as you might imagine elephant polo would be in an ideal world. But it's still...
You know...
It's elephant polo.
Well, just said tug of war here. Do you remember on Takeshi's Castle how there's that one where you run up and you have to pull a rope and on the other end you don't know what you're pressing? I'm sure I've seen one where they've had an elephant.
Really?
I'm sure I've seen one where they have an elephant. And I've seen ones where they've had like a school class, a full school like of kids on the other end and stuff. But there's definitely been one where they've had an elephant, I'm sure.
That's cool. Hmm.
Tug of war against an elephant.
Okay. Any other uses for elephants?
I wouldn't quite say a use, but they've been used as gods by.
Oh yeah, let's talk about. You said you were going to talk about a bit about that.
Right. There's several different types of reasons why elephants are gods. Because of their power and this associated wisdom with them, I don't know how that came about. They've been sort of seen as the wise leaders and such. Ganesh is the popular Hindu god of students and teachers, the remover of obstacles and bringer of good fortune. And that's the god which has a human body but a head of an elephant. But apparently there's a story which involves that they didn't always have an elephant head. They lost their head and gained an elephant one. Don't quite understand that. But there's stories of flying elephants, not Dumbo. So it doesn't tell me much about why they were praised as gods. I suppose you can understand that it's probably the most powerful creature that was around at the time, so you might want to...
They're quite kind of majestic.
Well, they are, yeah. They're amazing.
Yeah. Considering their huge size.
Okay, also, they used to be given as gifts by... eccentric upper-class people like
Richard Branson?
No, it was kind of before that, I don't think. In 1514, for example, the King of Portugal gave one to the Pope.
What's the Pope going to do with an elephant?
No,
what's anyone going to do with an
elephant? He apparently really liked it, and he put it in parades and stuff, and then it died at age 7, so it was a bit depressing, really.
Apparently things like that were quite popular status symbols. I was reading about zoos as well. If they had a sort of their own zoo or botanical garden of sorts, then it was sort of
I think it was a status symbol. I mean, it would be a good status symbol to have an elephant rather than a big pile of gold. I know what I'd rather have personally.
Bart wanted an elephant in a Simpsons episode,
and
he got that elephant.
That's some good education right there.
Elephants in pop culture, Alex.
Dumbo.
I wasn't criticising, I was being serious. Famous elephants. We should talk about them.
Dumbo.
What? No.
Dumbo.
Let's talk about Jumbo first.
Yeah, Jumbo. The elephant. Probably the most famous elephant.
Yes. Born in the French Sudan in 1861.
An African bull.
Yes. And transferred to Paris Zoo, then London Zoo, that guy, the circus guy, what's his name? I can't read my writing here.
I don't have it in here.
P.T.
Someone.
I don't have his name. Sorry.
Oh, well, look up Jumbo on Wikipedia. I'll be there. So he ends up in a circus, and then eventually died being hit by a train in Ontario in 1885.
But he was partly famous because in whilst he was at London Zoo, he gave kids rides.
Oh right, yeah. I think elephants were a real novelty back then. People were just amazed by them. So
and also that's why Jumbo means big. It originated from his name, not the other way around.
Really?
Yeah. So they didn't call him Jumbo because he was big. They called him Jumbo, and then that because he was big, gained that. As a...
He ended up, his body ends up in Tufts University in Massachusetts, and then a fire burnt burnt him to ashes, which I've heard, that was in 1975, by the way, I've heard that his ashes are supposedly now in a Peter Pan crunchy peanut butter jar in someone's office, but I kind of doubt that somehow.
Wow. Was it the fire on purpose? Was it like they were...
No, it was an accidental fire. It was an accidental fire.
Because I wasn't sure if that was, like, if they were cremating...
They wouldn't destroy a Jumbo.
I don't know.
I'm sure there's a massive elephant skeleton in the medical school at Edinburgh. I did a course there, I'm sure I kept walking past it. It's the kind of thing I should remember, but...
I would have thought you would remember that
I think it is an elephant skeleton. I just remember finding it strange that it wasn't in the zoology building, it was in the medicine building. But
it's a bit strange. Yeah, there's lots of... Many of the elephant stories go roughly the same way, as in the humans do really stupid things and that end up killing the elephants. Like, here's a good one. Castor and Pollux. Does anyone know what happened to them?
No.
They were eaten by the hungry citizens of Paris a siege on Paris by the Prussians in 1870.
Wow.
They ate a lot of animals in that, actually. They ate their horses, cats, dogs, rats, yaks, antelope, camels, and zebras first, before they got to the elephants, so...
Okay. At least they were a last resort.
Yeah. There's another quite bad story about Mighty Mary, who was an elephant who got hanged, and then...
Hanged?
The chain snapped, and then she fell and broke her hip, and then they hanged her again, and it worked.
That's horrible.
Which is... kind of horrible.
Why would they try and hang an elephant?
Because she killed one of her circus trainers. I don't know why
hanging was the method by which to kill an elephant.
It seems like the most ridiculous method
especially
of
with such a heavy creature.
Yeah. Oh well. Anyway.
And it did fail the first time as well.
Anyway, since we're talking about horrible things, ivory market. Let's talk about that. Gavin?
I mean... I don't have much to say, because everybody knows pretty much about it, but it's the fact that it's not just bad, obviously everyone knows that it's the killing of elephants, and that they're... Are they endangered, Heather?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I thought they were. And they're taking the ivory and selling it on in black market and stuff, but in the past it wasn't as bad, but it's still quite associated with slave labour, so it's not just bad for elephants, but most of the people who are working with it are slaves.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Anyway, ivory, just in case you don't know, I'll just state the obvious here, made from elephant tusks. It's also made from other animals, like teeth as well, but...
Sperm whales.
Walruses and stuff. But mostly it's associated with elephants, and you can carve it very easily, and it looks shiny and pretty, so there's a big market for it, and you can make it into ornaments. Piano keys, jewellery, billiard balls, little sculptures and stuff like that. There was a major ban on it, on the trade of it, in about 1989 or 1990, which was like an international thing to stop people trading in it.
It hasn't really stopped it.
It hasn't really stopped. Well, there were people ignoring the ban, obviously, and there's a black market developed, but some of the restrictions have been lifted since then as well, so...
There's a horrible photo here, and it's not horrible... Well, it's a shot. It's a billiard ball shop or billiard ball maker, and it's like full. It's like completely full of them there, and it's just how many elephants died to make all those billiard balls made from ivory. And then also, there's a photo of a guy playing bagpipes here, so this might be relevant since we're Scottish. hold on, well actually I'm the only pure Scot here. But
let's just say British.
Pure
Scot.
Don't get all. Master racing
I'm not. Sometimes only a small part of a musical instrument was traditionally made with ivory, such as organ stops on church organs. Ivory veneers on white piano keys, and the joints of this Highlander's bagpipes. The joints.
Well, yeah, there was a huge decline in elephant population in the 70s and 80s. It went from about 1.3 million to about 600,000, which is less than half. I don't know if that was all ivory related. There are a lot of conflicts between humans and elephants. I mean, aside from ivory poaching, there's humans taking up more land, so elephants don't have anywhere to go. And you know, some humans even just shoot elephants because they're causing trouble.
Destructive.
Yeah, they can be, and they can eat crops, as we've already discussed. And, I mean, they do sometimes kill people as well, so it's kind of understandable that people get annoyed with them on occasion.
I mean, they don't just trade the ivory, though. I mean, they do use the skin for shoes and stuff. It's quite horrible. Mm-hmm. There's a photo of a whip made from the tail of an elephant.
Wow.
I think that's a whip.
That's thrifty.
I mean, there's lots of things, and a hollowed-out foot, which I don't really see.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of those used as umbrella stands.
Yeah, I don't know what this one is, but I think there's something similar. But, I mean, it says down here that a lot of the illegal poachers probably did it because they were living in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so that's why it's such a problem.
Because it does make them a lot of money really quickly.
And they'd be reluctant to actually stop it unless there was another alternative that didn't make them as much money.
Which is horrible, but... So I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Most ivory seems to come from Africa and seems to go to Asia, weirdly. I guess those Asians like they're ivory.
And they often, to try and smuggle it, there's tricks such as like painting it a different colour. Like painting it black so that it doesn't look like ivory or anything.
The Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species do monitor the sales of ivory quite rigorously.
Apparently selling ivory is still alive in Korea.
Well, I mean, obviously not every country complies with these rules.
It's a bit strange, though.
eBay have stopped allowing the international trade of ivory as well.
Well, that's good of them.
Yeah.
Mm.
Considering they were made after that sort of rule was sort of invented.
But they're not even allowing, like, trade of ivory items with ivory in them. It's not just the raw stuff. I just realised that just before we wrap up, I just realised I didn't talk about Hannibal at all.
What?
And I wrote this thing... Right. Down about him. Does anyone know about him?
I read his name and I've forgotten what I read about.
Lecter.
No. No.
Like, what's he got to do with elephants?
Hannibal was a Carthaginian military commander.
Oh, okay.
In about... Well, I mean, his most famous thing was in 218 BC, which was the start of the Second Punic War. And you must have heard the story. Of what he did.
I know what you mean now, yeah.
Yeah, well, he led an army over the Pyrenees and the Alps, which are two fairly big mountain ranges, I think. Mm-hmm. The Pyrenees Mountains?
Yes.
Yes, I thought so. And with the army were 37 elephants.
That's quite a lot of elephants.
I think they were war elephants, technically. They were designed... He was fighting the Romans, and he was going to northern Italy to kind of try and take control of it. And the elephants... I think helped him with that. So, I mean, he did succeed in leading 37 elephants over the Pyrenees and Alps, which is quite impressive, really. I don't think I could do that.
No.
That was a bit of a jump from what we just talked about. Yeah. It was in the centre of my big list of famous elephant stories. So
that we haven't ended on the ivory thing, though. We can talk about the conservation efforts and trying to save the elephants.
Yeah, there is a lot of conservation.
There's a lot of that going on now by a lot of zoos and a lot of other... organizations and culture and what am I don't know what the word
there's,
is
yeah there. There's an interesting video I'll link to about Zakama National Park in Chad, which is a very big elephant place. Well, there's lots of elephants there. I mean, I assume there's other species as well, but yeah. And there's a war going on against the poachers there. There are armed horsemen who actually follow the elephants around to try and stop the poachers from killing them. So yeah, go look at that. I can't really do it justice by talking about it.
Yeah, it's quite hard to... I mean, there's so many different efforts all around the world to save elephants. There's a lot of things where they've tried to make elephant safaris so that tourists are actually funding the conservation of elephants. And,
yeah, there's quite a lot of that.
And there's a lot of that going on.
Yes. It's quite sad that they have to, like, go to that those lengths to make but, tourists care about.
Well, see, one thing though that they've done cleverly is after the things they try and direct the tourists to the local community. Then the community will realise money's coming from the tourists, and if we kill the elephants for their ivory, the tourists won't come anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So they're trying to replace the money you'll get from ivory with money from tourists.
Maybe.
I'm sure
it won't work on everyone, but I mean, every little
most communities
thing
will
helps.
Just realize, oh, we're getting money from this, and it'll be a more stable investment. Because if we kill all the elephants, we can't kill any more elephants.
Yeah,
they'll all
but
be
I mean,
gone.
Not all the communities are obviously doing that.
No,
it's just a small few people.
Yeah,
are poaching.
But the whole community can make an effort to stop those few people.
Yes, they could, and they do in a lot of parts.
Yeah.
If you want to help save the elephants, I think there's a website called Save the Elephants, but I look in the links and there'll be a link to it.
I mean, there's loads
and you can donate money to.
I mean, do a search online, there'll be loads and loads of organisations.
Yeah.
Looking for your money.
Yeah, you should look after the elephants because they're cool looking.
They are.
I mean, apart from anything else, they're really awesome and weird and like aliens or something.
Brilliant. So. They are brilliant.
They're unique creatures and beautiful creatures.
And clever.
Mm. Yeah, apparently they're clever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're watching you with their tiny little eyes. Anything else?
I think that's everything about elephants.
Yes,
I think we've said everything there's to say about elephants. How does it feel?
Good.
It feels good yeah.
Mm.
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 Oh, how do we wrap this up then?
Everyone tries to do an impression of an elephant.
Oh gosh, okay.
A noise one, so that Heather's flapping her arm as a trunk, but they can't see that.
Yeah. Okay.
I like when I did that on purpose.
Someone else go first, because I don't even know where to begin.
I don't know either. How do you replicate?
Okay, I'm going to try. No, that wasn't very good.
No, it's just like a scream. It's hard.
Heather, you have to do it.
It's impossible. Hold on.
It's impossible.
They're not that low pitch.
This is slightly disturbing.
Okay, here's an impression of an elephant mimicking a human. Hello.
They're much better at it than we are.
Mm. Yeah, because apparently they can do that. Yeah.
So, next week I won't be here, I'm afraid.
No, he'll be schmoozing with the famous.
Yeah, where are you going next week, Gavin?
I'm going to direct Coronation Street. No, I'm not quite. I'm going to an event in Edinburgh, which is to do with TV stuff.
Yeah.
Directing and stuff, So have fun without me. I'm sure you'll find a replacement. Well, that
I'm not entirely sure. Have
another panelist.
Yes.
We'll try and find someone. Yeah. Okay. Well, go on the website. There might be a few changes to it. I'm hoping on, as I said, getting this thing submitted to some podcast directories. So if you enjoyed it, please review. If you didn't enjoy it, please don't.
And feel free to send an email to someone at encyclopod.co.uk.
Someone at encyclopod.co.uk. And I'll try and get individual email addresses up this week as well.
For instance,
it's about time.
You could give us some advice on what you like about the show, or you could give a suggestion for a topic.
Or you could say something about elephants that we didn't mention, or correct one of our horrible inaccuracies about elephants. And we'll read it out at the end of the next show, probably.
Or sing us a song about elephants.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, you send us a voice email, attach an audio file.
Anyway, let's stop telling our audience what to do.
Yeah, but do.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone say goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening, and goodbye. Heather, you have to do one. Sign off.